This COVID pandemic has put an enormous reset button by so many of the ways in which we do life, hasn't it? Will we go back to how we lived before? Or is there really a new normal in the future ahead of us? I mean, think about it. Environmentally, London's air noticeably cleaner. India's carbon dioxide emissions down. For the first time in 37 years, what will all of this do for any future green agenda? Or work-wise, both how and where we work have changed for so many. Will we just go back to the old ways? Travel habits, short and long distance, have been shut down. Budding relationships with sex off the table for so many have, according to one anthropologist, taken different and deeper foundations during the lockdown. Drug dealing and county lines have been broken down, and some youths may not return. One youth leader said that these last weeks have been a period of deep reflection for some of the youngsters he's in touch with. Again and again and again, the button looms large, reset, reset, reset. And spiritually? Is the church exempt? Do we need to hit a reset button too? Does all of this disruption have lessons for us to learn about how we do church together? I was listening to a doctor on the radio the other day. He'd had the virus. He'd been hospitalized. He'd recovered. He'd returned to work in his hospital, on his ward, and he said how different it was. Doctors and nurses had been drafted in from all kinds of other departments, and there was an amazing spirit of pulling together. And then as he closed, he looked to the future and the talk of a new normal. And he added, "I'm not so sure about it," he said. "We move so fast, and our memories are so short." Our passage this afternoon is a call to reset, a picture of how those early disciples did reset. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to. They, as we saw last week, were those who had got Jesus wrong, had repented and been baptized, had discovered they now had new priorities. They couldn't just go back to worshipping with and belonging with those who were still wrong about Jesus. They devoted themselves to. Strong words for this new community with their new priorities. Devoted to, not spectators tuning in when it suits, but participants, involved, committed. On the pitch, not on the touchline. Devoted to implies that they continually did this. It wasn't a 1 week or a 1 month wonder. It's a reset button that is every bit as much for now as it was for then. A student worker wrote this. "Time and again, as I travel around the UK, I meet non-believing students whose longing for something beyond the material world has been awoken in part through seeing Christian friends living for a different hope that impacts all of life." Or listen to this pastor from Myanmar, Burma. "I realize now how we need to reform the church. But it isn't possible to do it by ourselves. It needs all church members and leaders to really have their eyes opened to see what church really is." See, this reset button isn't just for a new rector. It's not just about my own personal relationship with Jesus. It's a communal reset. Church getting back to normal is months and months away. The first question to face is, what normal are we wanting to get back to? So when we come back after this song, we'll look at the community and the priorities that emerge when we hit the reset button. Here in Acts 2, we're plunging into all the fallout from Pentecost, the new community formed by the Spirit who came then, the priorities to expect when the Spirit is at work, and we see them spelt out in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We discover the Spirit-filled church is a New Testament church because the apostles' teaching is to be found in the New Testament now. It'll be an Old Testament understood church, for the Old Testament isn't discarded, but its real trajectory and fulfillment discovered. And without that, I can read the pages, but still miss the point. So Peter demonstrates it in his own sermon when he quotes a prophecy of Joel, and he says this, Pentecost and all the events around it, is that what was spoken by the prophet Joel. The Spirit-filled church, it'll be a church with God's word at its center. And above all, it'll be a learning church. We often like to talk of ourselves as a teaching church, and that's great. What other kind of church can you be? But the Spirit is anxious we should be a learning church. He opens a school that no lockdown will shut. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, if we can keep that devotion with the coffee refill, the distracting children, the channel hopping remote all at hand, when we're allowed to be together again, we'll discover that attentiveness is still there. They take it all so seriously, one visitor to All Souls told me a while back, explaining how he'd been drawn in to listen by the attitude of those around him. And notice back here in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Signs and wonders often come in the Bible to authenticate the teachers. It seems to be that here, the apostles, these are the voices to listen to. Here's the next priority back in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Well, actually, to the fellowship, to one another, to a sense of family and of belonging. It's been thrilling to hear stories of life groups contacting, supporting, encouraging each other through the lockdown. Indeed, of people looking to join life groups for that support. And we'll need to transfer that to life after lockdown too. For some, coming out may be harder than coping within. But notice back in Acts how practical this support was. Look at verse 44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. What did that mean? Well, verse 45 explains, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They don't seem to have abandoned the idea of private property. They met in their homes in the next verse. Barnabas would sell a field in a few chapters' time. It was less a ban on property, more a renouncing of possessiveness. That's thinking all the time in an individualistic way, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. And we need to learn that during this pandemic. The virus hasn't treated everyone equally. There have been race and class divides. The have and have not gulf has widened. I read last week both about significant debt repayments on things like credit cards, and significant increase in personal debt. I suspect that if your job has been secure and your income stable, then expenditure has gone down during the lockdown and repayments, even significant repayments, have been made. But if your job is lost, if your income is reduced, and for many, any reduction, it means borrowing significantly increasing. We'll have both ends in our church family. What kind of community will people discover here? They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Or again, back in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. This has to be more than just that they ate together, though they did. It must refer to the sign that Jesus instituted in the Last Supper, the reminder of his body broken, his blood shed on the cross, the heart of the gospel. Verse 46 tells us they broke bread in their homes and ate together. It would have had a very different feel from our communion services today, you suspect. And the Church of England ruled that only the ordained priest presbyter should take a communion service, maybe a way of aligning the church to the command that everything should be done in decency and order when those meals got abused as they did in Corinth. But it looks as if the breaking of bread started out as something much more like the way we say grace before meals today. You sit down to eat, and presumably the head of the household begins by breaking bread as a reminder, a constant drumbeat that we're new people because of the grace of Jesus on the cross. The challenge for us is, how does an online church recover that drumbeat, that reminder, especially if it stays online for months on end? Back to verse 42. And the last priority, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They may have joined in the temple prayer meetings still. That would be one reason why in verse 46, every day they met together in the temple courts. They devoted themselves to, and again, it is literally the prayers. That may have reflected the more formal prayers in the temple, but we're told as well about glad and sincere hearts praising God. They were unafraid to be dependent, and they knew where thanks were due. Steve Nichols said to me the other day, he thought there had been more prayer online in life groups than when we met face to face. And the other afternoon, I went to get a cup of tea in the rectory kitchen, only to discover I'd walked in on an aroma group Zoom prayer time. We'll need to keep our prayerfulness as the lockdown loosens. They devoted themselves to. This new community could have felt like some closed group shutting the doors against those around them. And certainly Christian groups have done that many times down the centuries. But that's not how the Spirit works. And these lives rang true to those around them. Look at verse 47. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, you've got to realize that Luke is painting a picture for us in this brief paragraph. He's not looking through rose-tinted spectacles, and he hasn't lost touch with reality. This is not the perfect church. You only have to turn the page and you come across the ugly story of Ananias and Sapphira. Turn another page and you find the church splitting over who has what when in the soup kitchen handout. I mention it because we're not a perfect church either. But when Luke writes here, he's not writing to shame us or belittle us, but to set our sights on where the Spirit is leading us. If I were starting, not finishing, as rector of All Souls, there would be so many post-COVID uncertainties to grapple with, wouldn't there? But to know there was a people who are looking to live like this, well, that would be a church I'd love to serve. But actually, of course, I am finishing as rector, not starting. So I can only thank you for making such a good stab at it, and for all its inevitable headaches, making the last 15 years such a privilege. Thank you very much.